The Daily Douchebag Pledge.
Two douchebags and a microphone pledge. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to download every show. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to grab family members' phones and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to go to public computers and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to laugh at all the unfunny jokes. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to lie to all my friends and tell them how good the show is. And finally, I, Joe or Jane listener, promise to visit Montrose, Missouri to take advantage of the power plant, campgrounds, and junkyard all within its quarter mile radius.
Here at Two Douchebags and a Microphone, we don't stand behind our journalistic integrity. Go ahead and assume we got the story wrong. At least we admit it. Not like all those other guys, we can and will lie if it makes the story better.
Two douchebags and a microphone.
We talk Kansas.
Oh shit. What's that over there?
Oh no.
It's the island of horrible jokes.
A ship carrying red paint and a ship carrying blue paint collided. They were all marooned.
All aware of the Amber Alert, right? Well, get rid of your disinfectants and rubber bedspreads, kids. It's the all-new Amber Heard Alert System. This fantastic early warning device helps one stay dry and rid of all those annoying mattress invoices. Simply hook up to child under six or psychopath and wait for the running water sound. This clever machine has three distinct settings: Babbling Brook, Ocean Waves, and Roaring River for those close calls. Order today and get a free Cinnabon Renews-It cartridge.
Call you during every orgasm.
Bark, 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 bark.
I should have never taught that damn dog how to read.
Two douchebags and a microphone. I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob.
Hey Rob, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. My day was interesting.
With the daughter and grandson.
That's excellent. Good. And they're still there, right?
Yeah. They're in the other room.
Good. Are they gonna stay the night?
With my son.
Oh, cool.
No.
You're just gonna see them after the podcast.
Well, they'll probably be gone by the time I get done. But
okay.
We got some time beforehand, so it's all good.
That's great to hear. Good. Well, previously I had to call Rob over the internet, and the reason that was is because I was mowing today, and my phone fell out of my pocket, and it promptly went underneath the deck and got chewed all to hell and is gone now. So I had to keep going through an old phone one by one, but the phone was so old I actually did not have Rob's number in it. And I'm like, shit! So I called him over the internet over Facebook, and anyhow, luckily Rob caught it, and he called me, so now I can put his phone in my contacts. And then previously to that, my Jeep parts are in, right? So I got the Dodge Challenger again, which is very nice, and I got to tool around that all day, which is pretty fun. And I just can't help myself. I was just like revving up, pissing people off. People by the side of the road, and just I'm one of those people that I hate. You know, you're sitting there minding your own business, someone comes by, and it's like, fucking asshole. Well, I was doing that all day today, couldn't help it. So it's been a day, but my Jeep will be ready tomorrow, and I'm gonna go get it, and I'll be kind of sad to take that Challenger back again. So anyhow, I didn't have anyone coming up and challenging me this time. No little punk coming up in his Mustang trying to screw with me. I was looking around. I was waiting for him. I was like, all right, today's the day. Today I'm going to give it to him. Instead of dodging off on a side road, I was ready to get after him. I'm like, all right, come on, bitch. Bring that fucker over here. So, but anyhow, luckily the Lord said no. So,
yeah.
Because I wasn't smart enough to. So, anyhow. Oh, go ahead.
Speeding tickets cost a lot more than they used to.
Yes, they do. And also in a loaner, not a good idea either. Yep. Things can happen. So, I mean, like the first time I got in that Challenger, what, a month ago when I was waiting for my parts, it almost took it in Indian Creek. Yeah. Yep, stuff like that can happen. Stuff like that can happen, as I had it plainly described to me on 103rd Street. So, anyhow, we have some NFL stuff, Rob. I'm sure you've been on it, too. So.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. The schedule leak of the NFL has confirmed that it will be a rematch of the AFC Championship game, only it will be held at Arrowhead. This match will take place Thursday, September 5th, televised on NBC and Peacock. This is a fantastic open to the 2024 season, and you know the Ravens want revenge, but Mahomes wants to never been done before three-peat. So, you're going to see two teams battling, I mean, like really battling, because, you know, I mean, Mahomes and Kelce and Jones and all those guys and Reed, they want the record. They've never been done before three-peat. They're eyeballing that. They've already said it. And the Ravens are pissed. We went over there and kicked the shit out of them, and they don't like it. You know, we went to their stadium because that's what everybody was waiting for, was the Chiefs to have to go on the road. Well, they did. And they still won. So, anyhow, and I'm not bragging or nothing. What I'm doing is I'm describing what a good matchup this is for the inaugural game. It's a great lineup, and it's brilliant for the NFL. So, the Jets versus 49ers are the Monday night football opener. In the second week, the Chiefs take on Cincinnati. The Bengals against the Chiefs are the year before last championship game, and I'm not sure, I couldn't find anything whether confirmed is at Arrowhead or if it's going to be in Cincinnati. I don't know where that game's going to be at, but that's going to be a hell of a game too. And the Chiefs need to get off running. They need to hit the ground running. They cannot look back, because their schedule, by the indication, the first two games that have been leaked, the full schedule's coming out tomorrow, but by the looks of this schedule so far, we are going to have probably the toughest schedule ever. I mean, look at the first two opponents. So, and you know, 49ers are going to be in there. I already heard about that, because I think we're playing the the NFC West or whatever it is. Yeah, I think it's NFC West. We're playing them, so we already know that you know, the guys we played in the Super Bowl are going to be there, and they play very well, as we saw. MVS, Marquise Valdes-Scantling, signed with the Bills. So, he had a torturous time trying to catch the football from Mahomes. Now add another 7 miles faster and see what happens. Because we all know that Josh Allen wings that ball. MVS had a problem catching Mahomes' balls, and Mahomes slowed down. He learned to get that touch like Aaron Rodgers did, Brett Favre, excuse me, all the great ones, all the gunslingers that threw so hard when they were earlier, they learned the touch. They learned how to throw that ball just a little bit softer and float it just a little bit more, so it's more receiver friendly. Bills' Josh Allen, he still wings him in there at an enormous rate, and I don't see MVS catching him. And he wasn't catching him over here. He wasn't exactly lighting the world on fire over here. He had that great, fantastic, phenomenal catch in the AFC Championship game. But other than that, I mean, he had a pretty good Super Bowl too. But other than that, the whole season, he was pretty much a guy that just kind of pretty much dropped everything that got near him. So I don't expect them to do any better over there, but I know that they're kind of in cover-up mode because they let Diggs go. I guess they couldn't afford him, or he wanted a trade or whatever. So they let Diggs go, so they're like scrambling because they're wanting some backup to some of the young receivers they drafted. You know, so anyhow, I don't know if MVS is the answer. So anyhow, then a little bit later on, after all my car stuff and all that that I told you about earlier, I went to Dave's Hot Chicken. I told you about that. Remember that place?
Yeah, yeah.
It is phenomenal. I went there for lunch. This is the best Nashville chicken anywhere, Rob. I've never encountered a better Nashville-styled hot chicken. This includes better than Hattie B's from Nashville and the famous original recipe from the Browns Hotel in Nashville. It's even better than that because I had that. They have it once a month, the first Sunday. It's their Nashville Chicken Night, and they say that is exactly the original recipe that got them on the map. And Hattie B's is really close. But Dave's Hot Chicken is the best, and it's a franchise from California. So I don't know how these Californians came up with such a good Nashville hot chicken recipe, but I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
It is phenomenal, and when you come up here, Rob, that might be the first place we go. Well, we'll probably go to Justin Jim's first, just for old time's sakes, and then we'll go to Dave's Hot Chicken. So.
Oh, we'll go to Dave's first, and then
Justin Jim's at night.
We'll have Justin Jim's for dinner, yeah.
Oh, okay, that's a good. Yeah, I like that idea. So, anyhow, in other news, the New York Proper Transportation Department, they have cards called the Metro Pass, right? And you buy one and you can go on all of them for a week or whatever. Well, leave it to New York to figure out how to monetize that whole system. All of the Metro cards will have the cards as part of a huge promotional effort of the rapper Ice Spice are going to be on them. So, so every one of these, they're going to still be a Metro card, but it's going to have images of Ice Spice as a promotional deal. And I'm pretty sure that the New York transit system is getting a pretty good load of change for putting Ice Spice's image on all of those Metro cards. I thought that was interesting. I'm sure you're going to see more of stuff like that, like the bus system or whatever around Kansas City, or the streetcars. Pretty soon you'll see, I don't know, maybe Tech 9 on them. I don't know. You know, so anyhow, the Seattle Mariners have realized the strength of a good glizzy. That is why they now have hot dogs on parachutes for the crowd watching the game. I'm not kidding you. This is not my fake story. They put hot dogs on little parachutes, and they parachuted them to the crowd below. But wait.
What team did you say that was?
The Seattle Mariners.
Okay.
But wait.
Just checking.
There's more. The hot dogs are falling to the hungry masses in the stadium while Debbie Gibson's Heaven on Earth is playing. Rob, I'm getting teary-eyed just thinking about it. What about you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. I think
I'm reaching for a tissue.
Oh, man, me too. That's the ultimate love right there. Little hot dogs on parachutes while Debbie Gibson's playing in the background.
Yes.
America at its finest. Okay. Well, anyhow. All right. Now, a post recently went viral of a man going to McDonald's and purchasing a bacon and cheese quarter pounder value meal, and the final price being $16.10. This is a ridiculously price, especially since I can go get a three egg omelet with all the fixings, hash browns, breakfast potatoes, and toast with all the coffee I can drink for roughly $13 at this nice little place up the road called Caleb's. I can go there all day long and get it for $13, and it's $16.10 for a crappy, in my opinion, a crappy, according to this guy, it's $16.10 wherever he shopped at, and I don't know if it's the same up here or if it's cheaper or even higher, but anyhow, you can get a really good breakfast for $13, or I could also go to Jess and Jim's Steakhouse, get a prime steak burger with choice of potato for around $13 as well. The burger patty weighs in at just under a pound. So it's considerably bigger than a quarter pounder, and it's considerably better. Their burgers are ground steak trimmings because they cut the steaks right there. So again, I encourage consumers to vote with their wallet. Next, watch out for copperheads. More than normal. Copperhead snakes love to dine on juicy cicadas. I know you'd know this, Rob. Copperheads love cicadas. This means the venomous snakes can be in yards, up in trees, and wood piles near you. People are encouraged to overlook over what they're getting ready to grab in a wood pile or a clump of weeds or step on, make a lot of noise. Keep your lawn mowed. Keep all the brush piles to a minimum. And make sure to look really carefully at everything you might pick up in your yard. The snakes blend in so well with their environment that it's very hard to spot them casually, so look it over really well. I mean, there's been several times I was out fishing as a youngster, out in the woods down there north of Cleveland, following the railroad tracks. There's a lot of little streams there, a little Massey Creek and stuff like that, right? It almost happened upon several copperheads because they're so hard to see. They blend in with everything on the ground. And so, everybody, just, you know, you have animals, try to keep everything, you know, hedged down, because animals, they'll go after a copperhead, they see it, and they're, you know, they'll, and I'm not sure, but I think it can be very I think it can be very poisonous to a dog or a cat or something, too, so just be careful, everybody.
They are very common down here.
Yeah, they are probably Missouri's most common venomous snake, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think. Actually, I think they are ranked number one.
Yeah, I would think so. They're literally there's almost as many of them as there is like the garter snakes, which is everywhere, or the rat snake, or a decayed brown snake, or something. So anyhow, Gen Z has the worst debt out of any other generation. Their average debt to income ratio is a crazy 84% on average. Zier has a debt balance of $3,000. Then they are also especially prone to shady high-interest car loans as well. So, after all that, finally some great news, Rob. Blue Bell has a new flavor. Yeah. You want to know what the new Blue Bell flavor is, Rob?
Yes, I do.
It's gooey butter cookie. Did you hear that, Rob? Did you hear that? I heard angels. I heard angels playing harps. Let me do that again. Gooey butter cookie. You hear that?
Ooh, that sounds good.
That's angels playing harps. So.
Wow.
All right. And then, Fox NFL confirms that the Cowboys versus the Browns matchup on week one of the 2024 season will be Tom Brady's first game. Word is, Mr. Brady will parachute on the field with pockets full of glizzies. That's right. Tom and wieners for all. So, speaking of wieners, Burger King isn't sitting around fidgeting with their magical, mystical Burger King's nuts. No. They have quietly been working on the new Philly cheesesteak wrap. And finally, in Houston, Amazon self-driving vehicles, if I could speak correctly, have been crashing. So if you're in your trinket from China business, and if it doesn't arrive, try the new Crash Car Locator app from Amazon. Just have ID ready at the crash site to prove the cheap plastic whatever is indeed yours. Rob, please, please clean this program up, and thank you.
Alrighty. Some baseball fans can go their entire lives without ever catching a foul ball. One Seattle Mariners fan inexplicably did it twice in a matter of seconds. That's why I asked you, I heard you correctly, Seattle Mariners.
Oh, yeah, that's where it happened. Yeah, anyhow, go ahead. I've actually got that story.
Yeah, the magic happened Monday during the Mariners' first at-bat against the Kansas City Royals at T-Mobile Park in Seattle, Washington. Mariners third baseman Josh Rojas fouled off Royals starter Brady Singer's second pitch of the game toward the left field foul pole. A Mariners fan made an awesome basket catch to snag the foul ball. The catch being immortalized on live TV was already worth the price of the admission for the fan. But in a miraculous turn of events, the exact same sequence of events played out the very next pitch. This Mariners fan caught two straight foul balls.
That was tough.
Yeah, better.
I said that was tough. Did you see that? It was like a replay.
No, I didn't see it.
It was the exact same hit ball in the exact same spot, and it wasn't an easy catch. The dude flat, he brought it each catch. I mean, take a look at it on the internet when you get a chance. It was beautiful. Man, that dude, he should be signed, I swear.
Yeah, it goes on to say the same fan catching a foul ball in the same spot on two consecutive pitches has to be one of the most improbable feats ever seen in Major League Baseball history.
Yeah, the chances of that are probably, you probably have better chances getting struck by lightning, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I would say so. Just the chances of catching one, let alone two back to back.
I know. When you look at it, I mean, I can't do it justice by talking about it. When you look at it, you'll see what I mean. Anybody out there, just look it up. It is solid. Really cool. So.
Now, look what the price it is for the pair.
Yeah. So, very cool, man. Wow. Yeah, that's a pretty good story because, like I said, man, I bet you'd have better chances of getting hit by lightning than that or winning the lottery than that. So, anyhow, alrighty, won't we take our first break and then we're going to come back with more stuff. That sound good?
Sounds good.
All right, we'll be right back.
The apocalypse just happened. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But we can tell you what you can eat.
Dandelion can be stewed with wild mustard and wild garlic for a very tasty stew. You could even introduce our old friend the hickory nut for a bit of smoky flavor.
Two douchebags, a microphone, in an effort to keep everything fresh, we offer you first world problems.
Oh, shit! Look at that drive-thru wine! Surely we don't expect me to actually have to go in? This sucks.
Now it's time for pickup lines from a loser.
If I had a nickel for every time I saw someone as beautiful as you, I would have a whole 5 cents.
Two douchebags and a microphone invade your ear holes in... Hey! Who took a dump in the cooler?
Hi all, this is Chicago. I am the most dangerous city in North America. You can't touch me.
Oh yeah? This is Kansas City here. Hold my beer, bitch.
Tomorrow morning, while grinding your coffee beans for your double mocha latte, remember to not get your genitals caught in the grinder. It really hurts, and who can afford plastic surgery? Stay safe, everyone.
Hey there, fuckstick. You're just in time for brand new feature news nobody gives a shit about.
A belly dancer in Spain. Belly danced for 48 hours, beating the old world record by 5 hours.
Two douchebags and microphone. I'm Mark.
And I am Rob.
Rob, check this out. In Midland, Michigan, a 34-year-old woman was found living in the Family Fair rooftop sign in Midland, Michigan last month. Family Fair is a grocery store up in Michigan, okay? On April 23rd, contractors discovered an extension cord on the roof of the building and were able to trace it to an enclosed area inside the sign. According to the Midland Police Department, there was a mini desk, flooring, a pantry of food, a house plant, and a makeshift residence. I would have let her stay there, wouldn't have you?
Yeah.
I'd be like, look, lady, stay there. We got to figure out how to insure you up here, but stay there. You can't have visitors. Police were notified of the woman living in the sign. She was told that she needed to find somewhere else to live and that she was trespassing on the business, but no criminal charges were filed. You see, I like that. They didn't try to take, they didn't try to throw her in jail or nothing. They're just like, man, that's pretty inventive. And, you know, she probably needed a place to live anyhow. I commend her. That's brilliant, isn't it?
Right, right.
Authorities offered to help connect the woman with housing assistance, but she declined. Oh, okay. She probably was mentally ill then, right? You usually like schizophrenic people, this is just my own estimation, may not be true, but schizophrenic people will not take help. You know, they'd rather be on the street, and for some reason they're kind of paranoid, and they're like, oh, this person isn't trying to help me, they're going to get me in this house and they're going to kill me, or whatever they think. So I think maybe there's some mental illness involved, but brilliant though. The Midland Police Department was not sure where the woman was staying this week. The woman does not have a job, but does, but not at Family Fair. The stores, okay, Family Fair, she didn't have a job at Family Fair, and she didn't have a job at all. The store said they would work with her to get her furniture, but there is no word if they are still working on getting the furniture down. So, ropes?
You gotta do what you gotta do, man.
How did the woman get it up there is what I want to know. If it's that cumbersome to where they're worried about getting it down, how did she herself get it up there?
Who knows?
Was there like a screw gun or something maybe up there? And she like IKEA'd it? Just like took all these boards and stuck them all together and made furniture? I don't know. I don't know, but the whole thing is fucking brilliant, man. I'll tell you what, someone needs to hire her for something. I don't know what, but something.
Yeah.
All right, Rob, we turn to you.
We all know someone who swears by a particular hangover cure, whether that's a greasy fry-up the morning after or specially designed supplement. However, scientists in Switzerland have now created an actual hangover cure, which works by breaking down alcohol into gastrointestinal tract.
I'm all ears, Rob. I'm all ears.
Researchers at the University of ETH Zurich fed the protein gel to mice and found that it quickly converted alcohol into harmless acetic acid before entering the bloodstream where it would normally develop its harmful effects. The gel shifts the breakdown of alcohol from the liver to the digestive tract. In contrast to when alcohol is metabolized in the liver, no harmful acetaldehyde is produced as an intermediate product. Professor Raphael Mazinga, one of the study's co-authors, explained in a statement, acetaldehyde is toxic and is responsible for many health problems caused by excessive alcohol consumption, including that hangover feeling. In the future, people could take the gel before or during alcohol consumption to prevent blood alcohol levels from rising and acetaldehyde from damaging the body.
Okay. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I guess it's called ETH.
ETH, I will look it up. Not that I get drunk that much anymore, but when I do, like if I'm on a cruise or something,
right,
that would be valuable information to know. So...
Yeah.
Rob.
Yeah, they're just discovering it. So.
Okay, well, I mean, Thursday morning, I go in for an evaluation for tinnitus. There's been a lot of, progress made in the world of tinnitus. Tinnitus, in case anyone doesn't know, is ear ringing. I've had it my whole life. I hate it. It sucks. So, anyhow, what I'm attempting to do is it's a brand new treatment that they do by stimulation to your tongue. So I'm going to find out about this Thursday morning, and I will report on it over the weekend what happened. I'm sure that I'm just going to be like given the information, and then I'm going to decide what I want to try or whatever, or what the insurance will cover or whatever. I'm sure it's like that, but this made me think of cures and situations and antidotes, and I just remembered that. So that's going to be pretty interesting, and if it works really well, then I will have a lot to report on. Another thing is Topher and I are getting together for a special project for this show. So more coming from that later, and Rob, I will let you know a little bit more about it a little bit later. So as it progresses, I'm going to go with Topher tomorrow and have some coffee. And we're going to outline some of the stuff that we want to do. So, anyhow, and it's going to be good. So, Rob, you know how we have these Gen Z slang terms, right?
Right.
And how we have you guess them?
Yeah.
I've got some really hard ones. Are you ready?
Sure, let's go for it.
All righty. Well, let's see you decode these. These are rough, dude. Anyhow, but I'm sure you'll get a few of them at least. Alrighty, first one on the plate is Sisk Kisk. It's spelled S-K-S-K-S-K.
I am not a clue.
This is an interjection used to convey happiness, amusement, and other intense emotions. How to use it? I found $20 in my bag that I didn't even know I had. Sisk Kisk. Okay.
Alrighty.
I'm taking this website's word for it. Let's see, what is it? Shit, I can't even see where it came from now. Let's see. Damn it. And you know what? As soon as I you know what? Doesn't matter, I guess. Okay. The next term is TL-DR.
No.
Too long, didn't read. It's used online to introduce a summary of a long story. Go ahead, what now?
I just said,
Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? So, here's how you use it. I'll post a longer write-up later, but TLDR is, it's pretty funny. So, anyhow, I didn't like their example. I thought there was a much better one. Anyhow, Gyat. G-Y-A-T.
I'm probably going to get a big zero tonight on this.
These things are hard. Gyat is G-Y-A-T is essentially a Gen Alpha acronym for Girl, Your Ass is Thick. It's used to refer... it makes sense now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's used to refer to someone attractive. We're not sure how we feel about our kids using this one either, but it's good to know. How to use it? Gyat. You are gorgeous. Okay. All right. Next one. Pop off.
Vodka.
What now?
Vodka.
Vodka?
Oh, pop off.
Pop off.
Okay. I thought you said pop off.
Oh, no, not the vodka. Okay. No. Pop off. P-O-P-O-F-F, two words. You can get this one.
Just burst out with something.
Pretty close. When someone says or writes something passionately or in a very emotional manner, they're popping off. How to use it? She popped off about her teammate in that interview. It was close. This one you'll get, and I think we might even went over it before. Taking an L.
Yeah, we did, I don't remember.
Taking a loss.
Okay.
Okay, how to use it. I really look like L in my maths exam. You might get this one. Salty.
Can I tell you the right wording for it? Yeah, I know what it means. I just can't come
okay.
up with the right wording.
When someone is unreasonably annoyed or upset about a situation, how to use it? I don't know why she's acting salty. Yeah, you knew what it was.
Yeah, I knew what it was. I was just trying to have a, I was having a hard time.
I was trying to imagine how I'd describe it too, and I was the same with you. I was kind of like losing the word that I wanted. So, okay, next one, era. Now think about this one.
That's time. A time period.
Okay, a substitute or phrase. You pretty much got it. Phrase used to label one's current interest or priorities. How to use it? I'm entering my Taylor Swift era, or I'm entering my healing era.
Okay.
Yeah, you got it. Next one, bad take. You ever listen to Jim Rohn?
Yeah.
Okay.
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 All right.
If a friend shares an opinion that is wrong or harmful, or you simply don't agree with it, you know how they, you know, even Rome will go, bad take, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. How to use it? You ate chocolate cake? That's a bad take. Okay, next one. High key. Two words. High and key. Use when expressing something blatantly obvious. How to use it? I high key love this eco fashion brand. This next one, I'm pretty sure. I told you these are hard. Next one. Big yikes.
Big uh oh.
Yep, yeah. This is used to express disappointment in response to a problematic or uncomfortable situation or statement. How to use it? That was an awkward conversation. Big yikes. You were right. Next one. Roman Empire.
Okay, I don't know what their terminology is.
Well, you'll get it here. And if you would have known how they're thinking here, you would have got it too, and I would have too. But anyhow, here it is. It refers to something you love, are obsessed with, or think about all the time. Could be a situation, a thing, a place, anything really. How to use it? America's Ferrara's monologue from the Barbie movie is my Roman Empire. I don't like their explanation on that one either. But anyhow.
Once you start getting into it, I caught on to it.
Yeah. The biggest thing about these is figuring out how they think, right?
Yeah.
They're looking as like photographic description. Is that a good way to put it, maybe?
Yeah,
you look at it at the surface. Yeah, anyhow, okay. Next one, do it for the plot. This one you can get. I love this one.
Go ahead.
Doing something without knowing the outcome of your action in hopes that you'll at least get a good story out of it. How to use it?
Okay.
Yeah, isn't that good? I wasn't sure if I should give him my number, but my friend told me to do it for the plot. So it may go bad, but at least you got a good story. How many times we live that, Rob?
Almost every day.
Yeah. We covered this one before, I do believe. Girl math.
Okay, I don't know.
It is used as a humorous way to justify certain behaviors which would otherwise be deemed irrational. How to use it? I wore the cutest outfit yesterday, but I didn't get a picture of it, so no one important saw it. So I didn't really wear it. Girl math.
Okay.
This next one, I'm going to do it anyhow. There's only a couple left, but anyhow. Delulu is the Salulu. Well, Salulu could be short for solution, right? Delulu could be short for situation. Or delusion, or something like that, right? Okay, Delulu is short for delusion. Salulu is short for solution. Delulu is the Salulu is a way of staying positive, even when things get tough, implying that sometimes being delusional and optimistic about a situation may lead you to the best solution. It's a new fake it till you make it. See, I like that one. I thought it was pretty good. Next one.
Yeah.
Eight. ATE. And I use this every now and then. Eight is used when someone has done a good job at something, and left no crumbs is added when someone has fully exceeded expectations. How to use it? I love their outfit. They ate and left no crumbs. I like that one. I use it sometimes because I've actually heard that a few years ago. And I thought it was a pretty...
I've never heard it.
Yeah, I go, man, dude, that dude just ate it. I mean, we used to use eight like if you like beefed on a skateboard, right? You go, oh, man, he ate it.
Yeah, you wipe that.
Man, he ate it. Oh, what'd he eat? He ate turf, dude, or he ate concrete, you know. But yeah. I like this term, how they use it, too. Gas up is the next one.
Gas up.
Yep.
Energize up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
To encourage or hype someone up. How to use it.
Oh, okay.
My friend was feeling down, so I gassed her up with tons of compliments. Next one, there's only... Let's see. Oh, no, actually, there's quite a few left. We won't do them all because it's probably getting boring to people. On God. When someone says on God... go ahead. What?
No, it's another one of those. I don't know which way they would take
it. Okay. When someone says on God, it means they're telling the truth. It's the Gen Alpha version of no cap, which is the Gen Z version of I swear, which is the millennial version of I promise. We know it's all a lot to take in. Anyhow, how to use it? Are you sure you remember that correctly? B. On God. I don't necessarily like that one, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't personally like it myself, but okay.
Okay, the next one is help, just like you would scream for help. If you hear a teen say this, do not panic. It doesn't mean they're actually calling for help. It means they found something funny or disturbing. Help is why he making that face is how to use it. And you know what? I'm not going to go into the other ones because this simply, it's just going to be too long of a segment. So, Rob, you got something you want to go to?
Yeah, I found a kind of interesting story here.
All right.
Let's see, what is today? May 14th?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The world-famous sweetheart Al Capone's favorite Colt 1911 gun that saved his life many times is heading to auction this weekend online, in person and via telephone. On Saturday, May 18th, at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, at richmondauctions.com. Highly sought after firearms from famous historical figures have consistently sold for millions in recent auctions, such as Ulysses S. Grant's twin revolvers, which sold for over $5 million.
Wow.
Garrett's Colt Revolver, it sold for over $6 million. With a similar estimate to Pat Garrett's Colt revolver, Capone's sweetheart Colt pistol, bearing the patent engraving date of Valentine's Day, that includes a package of pristine provenance, authenticity, and historical manufacturer's documentation, carries a pre-auction estimated value of $2 to $3 million. And is expected to command a premium price. Prospective buyers may register online at richmondauctions.com.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That is cool. I would get on there to look at it. Of course, I couldn't buy any, but I would get on there and look at it, wouldn't you?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That sounds really interesting. I like that. Let's go ahead and take our second break, and I got a neat little story that involves about 50 years in the making. So.
All right.
We'll talk to you guys here in a minute.
Have you ever wondered where something came about? Have you ever looked at something and said, I wonder what the origin of that is? Well, so have we. That's why we give you the origin of...
The origin of the hamburger bun. The family of Oscar Willoughby claims the first known hamburger on a bun was served on July 4th, 1891 on Grandpa Oscar's farm. The bun was reportedly a yeast bun.
Once again, it's time for Ramblings of a Madman.
I believe Congress needs to synchronize tap dance for 20 minutes before each session. That needs to happen.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
If a fly was de-winged in a horrible accident, would that make the fly then a walk? I may never know.
Brick Shithouse Energy Drink. That's right, Brick Shithouse Energy Drink. Make meth into a girl. Chew off your balls. You want to fuck shit up? You want to force them across America? Brick Shithouse is for you.
Please enjoy Brick Shithouse Energy Drink responsibly. It's not readily available anywhere because of liability issues.
Two douchebags and a microphone. Because we all need dick jokes.
Microphone. I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob.
Well, like I previously mentioned before we went to break, I have a story 49 years in the making, and it involves a Beatle, Ringo Starr, a surviving Beatle. It's a story 49 years in the making. Six New Jersey teens skipped school to see the Beatles arrive in the United States in 1964 and ended up immortalized by budding photographer Ringo Starr. The past weekend, the five surviving Beatles fans finally got the chance to meet Starr in Las Vegas after revealing their identities in October. "I never knew that you were such a gifted photographer," chuckled Arlene Noble. "That's a lucky shot. Don't tell anyone," joked Starr of the photo. Norb, along with Gary Van Dersen, Susan Rayett, Charlie Schwartz, and Bob Toth, met the former Beatle, who was having an exhibit of his photography that is chronicled in his new book, Photograph, and saw him play live with his all-star band. The only missing member was Matt Blender, who passed away in 2011. It all began when the then-teens, hoping to get a glimpse of their musical heroes, drove along a motorcade. Van Dersen told Today in October that he thought they were driving past a funeral at first, then quickly realized the members of the Beatles were in those cars. Starr rolled down his window and stuck out his camera for a quick, candid shot. For years, no one identified the occupants of the car, and the mystery was solved only after an article in USA Today sparked a nationwide search. The gang surfaced and sat down for an interview on Today, and finally, everything came together in Las Vegas. That photo became bigger than I thought it ever would," said Starr. "I mean, I just put it in the book because it's a great shot, and then suddenly in America, everyone was trying to find them. For years, the gang knew they'd met Star, who also spoke with them briefly as they peeped from their car, but they never knew the photograph was of any consequence at all. Now, after all this time, the story has come full circle. So, anyhow, that's pretty damn cool. That Ringo Starr, they got a glimpse of their musical heroes when they were teenagers in 1964. Number one, they're all still alive, and so is Ringo Starr. Number two, to see that photo and for people to avidly track those people down in that car, and then Ringo Starr to respond to it and want to take that, get them all in Las Vegas and recreate that same photo is amazing. I love that.
Yeah, that is.
To me, that is brilliant, and I'm learning more and more as I go on in life to really treasure Ringo Starr. I used to go along with the program of people, hey, he's not that good a drummer. If Pete Best went to quit, he never would have been one of them, and all this stuff. But no, Ringo Starr is a great musician, and he's also a very intelligent individual, and he's very creative. He's where he is because he wanted to be there. And, you know, Ringo Starr, I salute you. That was a hell of a gift you gave the world right there. Thank you. Besides all the music. Hey, Rob, we turn to you.
All right. A guest on Antique Roadshow brought in the bat to be appraised after discovering it while cleaning out her grandmother's house. She explained that her grandmother would often go to Brooklyn Dodgers baseball games. The story goes that Dodgers player Roy Campanella hit his last home run with the bat at a game the grandmother was attending. Jackie Robinson broke the color line in 1947. Roy Campanella had been waiting in the wings, said appraiser Lila Dunbar. He'd been playing like Jackie in the Negro Leagues. In 48, he was brought up to the Dodgers, and he was a sensation. Somehow, the grandmother got her hands on it and was able to take it home as a souvenir. Unfortunately, the reason it was Campanella's last hit was because in 1958, he was in a car accident that left him paralyzed from the waist down.
Ooh.
The grandmother had written down an account of how she got the bat and exactly what it was from. But Dunbar pointed out a few issues with the story and attempted to clarify things. The bat was stamped with Campanella's name and the number C188 on the bottom of the handle. This proved that it was an authentic James bat. So here's where we are with your bat, Dunbar said. In 1954 to 1957, Roy Campanella gave his bat, all good. The insurance value on the bat is $30,000. The guest was stunned and could only whisper, wow, before Dunbar continued her appraisal. If we could prove he actually hit his last home run of his career, in my estimation, it would be at least $100,000.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Shoo. Man, that was a great story, man. Where'd you find that at?
Yeah. The U.S. Sun.
Okay. That's a British newspaper, I believe, isn't it? Well, it doesn't matter. And it's online, of course. I mean, you didn't get the...
Yeah, it popped up on my news break.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, earlier I was talking about how Gen Z has the worst debt of all the generations to date at their point in life right now, by far.
Yeah.
Well, here's one good example of why. Designer lunchboxes are the new it bag, and their price tags will make you gag. The $1,800 and $890 actually YSL takeaway box comes in black leather or dusty vintage brown gold vegetable tan leather. YSL is the brand. Fashion trends seem to be outdoing themselves on the daily, but the latest status symbol might come as a surprise. The new It bag is a lunchbox. And this is YSL that comes up with some of them. Pradas have nylon lunchboxes that go for $1,990. Black and Blum sells for over $2,000. And you can eat your lunch at your desktop in style with a lunchbox from Prada or Balenciaga. Balenciaga, I think, is how you pronounce it. Lunchboxes are the new status accessory, Don Black, founder of the stylish food storage company Black and Blum, told the UK Times. Now you can eat your lunch at your desk in style with a lunchbox from Prada. And Prada's re-nylon lunchbox case, unboxed, comes with two stainless steel bento boxes, a fork, and a bamboo cover. Prada's re-nylon lunchbox case, made in collaboration with Black and Blum, sells for a whopping $1,990 and comes with two stainless steel bento boxes. And like I said, a bamboo cover, of course, and all that. So, fashion house Balenciaga has an option that resembles more of a toolbox than a lunchbox, and it goes for over $3,000. So, you want to know how come they're in debt? Because they think a lunchbox is worth $2,000.
Right.
And I could go on, but I think everybody got the gist of that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Rob, once again, we turn to you.
All right. On an ordinary Tuesday night that was soon to be anything but, Whoopi Goldberg found herself seated in the chic interiors of Gordon Ramsay's restaurant, expecting a culinary experience to remember. Known for his exacting standards and fiery temperament, Ramsay oversees his kitchen with a precision that borders on the theatrical. The stage was set, and as Goldberg requested her beef Wellington to be prepared well done, the atmosphere tensed. For a chef of Ramsay's caliber, the preparation of beef Wellington is almost a sacred ritual. Traditionally served medium rare, this dish epitomizes the delicate balance with flavors and textures that can be easily overshadowed by overcooking. Ramsay's reaction was immediate and visceral. Witnesses describe him as visibly shaken by the request, his voice carrying over the clatter of the busy restaurant as he explained, "It's raw," a phrase that has become synonymous with his culinary identity, though twisted here into a paradox of unmet cooking expectations. The moment froze, diners pause, forks in midair as Ramsay's declaration echoed through the restaurant. This wasn't merely about a piece of meat, it was a challenge to the very principles of Ramsay holds dear. The class was not just about the food on the plate, but about the broader implications of customer preference versus chef's discrimination in the world of elite dining. Well, it goes on to say that, in a move that was a dramatic as the confrontation itself, when she declared a lifetime ban for Goldberg from all of his dining establishments.
Wow. Okay. You gotta love it.
That was down a little ways, but
you gotta love it.
She banned.
You're a donkey! Get out of here! Awesome, man. Thank you, Rob. excuse me here. Mountain Dew is celebrating the 20th birthday of its much-beloved flavor, Baja Blast, in a big way. The flavor, originally created as an exclusive partnership for Taco Bell, is now available in retail stores for the entire year. But that's not all. Baja Blast is also in chip form too, thanks to a new partnership with Doritos. This year marks the 20th Baja-versary, and Doritos is officially joining the year-long celebration. The chip company shared in a statement provided to Food & Wine, "Yes, my tropical lime-loving friends, Baja Blast is now sprinkled all over those triangle chips for a new Dorito Baja Fiery Mango." Now, that may be worth trying, don't you think?
Yeah, that might be worth trying.
Spice-packed and tangy, this limited-time flavor is another way the brand is showcasing its dedication to bringing unexpected flavor experiences to loyal Dorito fans, a Dorito spokesperson added. Mountain Dew is also launching a hot sauce that tastes like Baja Blast as well, but we covered that last week, but this also covers it in this article. As the spokesperson noted, the brand didn't just want to purely translate the beverage's taste to the chip. Rather, the team was particularly drawn to the mango habanero flavor combination and its proliferating flavor on menus. Habanero concept is in mind. The team pivoted to exploring different mango flavor paths that focused on the various properties of a mango: juiciness, tartness, earthiness, etc. So, anyhow, let's see. Here it goes on to say the chips, like the soda, are only going to be around for a limited time. The Baja Fiery Mango will be available in select retail across the United States starting on April 14th and will be sold nationwide on April 28th. So it's in existence right now. It will come in three sizes, 9-ounce, 2.6-ounce, and a club 18.3-ounce bag. The flavor will also be available via an 8-pack e-commerce variety pack, which also includes Doritos Nacho Cheese and Cool Ranch. And with the purchase of any Baja product, including a bag of Doritos Baja Fiery Mango, fans can scan the packaging for a chance to get exclusive Doritos X Baja gear. The shop is also filled with a ton of other partnership swag, including t-shirts, electronics, beach loungers, socks, ice cube trays, Taco Bell deals, and a limited edition Stanley Cup. That's sure going to become a collectible at your local high school. So, yeah, I didn't say that. The article did. So, anyhow. I'm willing to try the chips. But all the other stuff, I don't really... You know, the hot sauce, maybe. What do you think about the hot sauce, Rob?
Yeah, I think I'd at least try it.
I would try it, too, because Baja Blast with the habanero does sound appealing to me. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it just might blend.
If it's done right, I think it's going to be really good, and I think it will be done right. You know, Mountain Dew is a pretty well-thought product. I mean, they've expanded into these energy drinks and all these other flavors, the Code Red and all that stuff, that people go nuts over. So I'm thinking this will be a quality product, and I think it will be good because they have no indication of letting people down so far, I don't think. I mean, if you listen to Origins, our little segment, it tells about the origin of Mountain Dew, and it was just a mixer because the people simply didn't have a mixer to mix with their whiskey, and they came up with Mountain Dew simply as a mixer.
Yeah.
And everyone liked it, so it started selling. It was a regional thing, and I believe it was in Kentucky, wasn't it, or something like that? I can't remember. Listen to the Origins when it pops up, and it'll be on there. So, and I got another.
I like Mountain Dew with Southern Comfort.
That is good. I do like that. Yep.
Yeah.
Let's see. What was the other one that I tried on the ship? Mountain Dew and vodka. Wasn't bad. Really was not bad.
That's a word.
Yeah, I mean, I was just trying different things, and I was trying some of the higher-end vodkas, and I was like, I want to try it with, I think it's called Starry now. I think Sierra Mist. They got into a copyright infringement with Sierra Mist or something like that. Someone else had the name, I guess. So PepsiCo had to, like, suddenly, if I remember correctly, if I read it correctly, this is what I believe happened. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But I think it's like a copyright infringement deal. Someone else had the name, and they had immediately changed from Sierra Mist to Starry. So I think it was that Starry product that they have. I tried the vodka with that. It went very well. And I was like, you know, hey, at certain places, at stations in the cruise ship, they had a Mountain Dew. And I was like, hey, let's try Mountain Dew with that vodka. And it was actually pretty stellar. I liked it. And real quick here, while we're talking about food stuff, Times Square will soon be home to the world's largest hot dog sculpture. The exhibit titled Hot Dog in the City will stand at 65 feet tall and feature animatronics. The creatures say the work is a symbol of issues around consumption, class, and capitalism. Okay, well, they're trying to teach us a lesson with a giant hot dog, Rob. How do you like that?
Yeah.
You bad capitalists, this is a big hot dog to show you guys. Boy, we got them good. Rob, I turn to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
They like kale. And man buns.
New metal stars Limp Bizkit's prayers were answered this weekend by an angel, country superstar Jelly Roll. Okay, maybe that's taking things a little too far, but Jelly Roll was the savior for the infamous rock band during a festival performance. Limp Bizkit was performing on stage at Welcome to Rockville in Daytona Beach over the weekend when the epic moment occurred. Mid-song, the band's cover of Behind Blue Eyes, by The Who, Bizkit singer Fred Durst started asking for a sign. He even asked the audience to pray for an angel to save him, and would you know it, Jelly Roll was there to answer.
I personally like I don't like most of the new music, but I like Jelly Roll. I think Jelly Roll has a unique sound. He's got a great voice, and he comes up with interesting music. Not just garbage. Not just stuff that I just consider soulless and emotionless stuff, bragging about yourself or whatever. He has really good songs, in my opinion. I like him.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, and his voice is really good. Was that it, Rob?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay. Well, do we want to go anymore, or do we want to cap this bitch off, tie a bow on it, and call it good?
That's all I've got.
Let me see if I got some odds and ends to clear up here, if you got a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Here's one I haven't got to. I've had for quite a while. Nah, I'm not going to go into that. That was kind of... Hang on here. Sorry. I'm going through some old stuff here because I went through everything, too. So, hey, okay. An artisan roastery based in Finnish capital has introduced a coffee blend that has been developed by artificial intelligence in a trial in which it's hoped that technology can ease the workload in a sector that traditionally prides itself on manual work. It is only apt that the Helsinki-based Kaffe Roastery Alconic blend was launched this week in Finland, a Nordic nation of 5.6 million people that consumes the most coffee in the world at 12 kilograms per capita annually, according to the International Coffee Organization. Who knew? Who knew they had an International Coffee Organization? The blend...
I didn't have a clue.
I didn't either. Well, okay, now we know. So, the blend, an AI-packed mixture with four types of beans, dominated by Brazil's velvety Frisana Pahal, is the end result of a joint project by Kaffe Finland's third biggest coffee roastery and local AI consultory, Elif. Leveraging models and ChatGPT have worked together for this blend. It should suit coffee enthusiasts' taste, pursuing the boundaries of conventional flavor combinations, Elif, the AI company, stated. Kaffe's roastery managing director and founder, Savante Hoff, told the Associated Press on Saturday that the two partners wanted to trial how AI and its different tools could be of help in coffee roasting, a traditional artisan profession highly valued in Finland. So, there you go. Go get some AI coffee. You might as well, before they kill us all, have some of their coffee. Right?
Right.
All right. With that, I think we're going to say... Oh, hi, Grandma Opal. Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Ricky.
Hi, Grandma. Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Ricky.
Dodge City, Kansas. Rah, rah. You guys got some rain. Very happy for you. Hopefully that weed will come in now. So, anyhow, love you guys. Thank you for being the breadbasket of America. Even if no one else thanks you, I do. So, every time I look down at my Wonder Bread, I thank Grandma Opal, Jimmy, and Ricky. Don't you?
Yes.
That was very convincing, Rob. You had me at go. All right, man. Everybody, thank you for listening. Good night, assholes.
Good night, assholes.
Oh, no. Looks like the show's over, kids. Mark has explosive diarrhea and can't afford a wireless mic. Fear not, assholes. They'll be back invading your ear holes soon.